As I was writing this sermon, and I was sitting here today, and Daniil got up and sang at the microphone, and I'll tell you what, I just love to thank everyone that gets up during our service and sings and leads the singing. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and I've never been in a church that did that, so I thank every one of you. I mean, I'm looking at all of you sitting here that do that. And that's a precious thing to me, because I'm going to speak about gifts today, and that's one of the gifts that I know I don't have. I'm not a good singer, but maybe it's a gift that I know that. But I was invited to a church one time, and I got over there, and we were ready to start the service, and this older gentleman was in the back, and he came up to me, and he had this necklace thing, and he says, "Would you wear this? Because I really want to hear you speak today." I'd never been in that church before, and he said, "Would you wear this?" And because he says, "When you speak, it will feed into my hearing aids." So I said, "I'm glad to do it." So I wore it, and at the end of the church service, I gave it back to him, and he thanked me, and lo and behold, the next week they called and needed me to come back again. Their pastor couldn't get back, so I came back, and we were ready to start the service. And I seen the gentleman standing back there, so I walked back there, and I said, "Sir, would you like me to wear that amp thing again so you can hear me?" And he goes, "Oh, absolutely." And he put it around my neck, and he said, "Here's the on and off button. You know where I'm going. Make sure you turn it off when we sing." And I'm not very bright, and I started walking down the aisle thinking, oh my, he must have got some feedback from the microphones while we were singing, and then all of a sudden it hit me, that poor man. I sang into his ear all four songs during the service, but anyway, I had to share that. I think I shared that with Heidi before, but let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us here at Calvary, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would settle me down now a little bit and just so I don't blow it, Lord. So I don't blow this message that we wrote together, Lord. I just ask that you would bless it, Lord, and it would be your message and not mine, Lord. And just give me the courage and maybe even a little boldness, Lord, to deliver this. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I see in the bulletin, Brian, the lesson is from 2 Timothy 1, and he had 3-7, but I'm going to start at the very first verse, because I'll get into that as right away in my sermon of why I kind of backed up there a little bit. And if you would stand with me, reading in Christ's name. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You may be seated. As I started to write on this study, instead of starting at 3, I kept being pulled back to the first part of this text. And on verse 2 there, I mean, I just kept reading that. And Paul does start all his letters out that way. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And what a wonderful scriptural way to start out a letter to someone. If you're going to send them a note or someone, to just start out that way. To start out with hoping and praying that they have the grace that we can never earn, the grace that provides salvation, and the grace that brings us peace in troubled times. What a great way to start out a letter. The mercy that he withholds the punishment that we all deserve, and the peace that when our hearts know that grace and mercy God has given us. What a wonderful way to greet someone. It's just a wonderful Christian way, I think, to steward it, to pray for somebody, whether to remind them of the grace, mercy, and peace that God has given us. And in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience. I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. Timothy was constantly in Paul's prayer. Paul's telling us this. You know, and I hope we do that as a church family here, that we constantly pray for each other. But I do believe that we do that pretty well here. We start out every church service praying with each other and praying for each other. And I stand here and I got to get this in my sermon somewhere, so I'll do it right away, that I tell you, I love all you people here. Every one of you has brought something to my life, whether you know it or not. Every one of you sitting here has brought something to me. And Sue would say the same thing. You have all blessed us. When we walk in here, I just feel the love that just flowing around this building. I mean, I just feel it. I feel the Holy Spirit present whenever I come here. And as you know, we pray with our pastor before church, me and Dan and Bob, whoever the deacons are, we go in and pray with Brian. And I don't think many times, and Dan will agree, that we don't pray for the little rumble out in the hall, the sound of that beautiful people greeting each other, of just glad to see each other and be each other in fellowship. It's great to feel the joy to come here. It truly is. And I hope you all feel joy when you come here, and that we as parents and grandparents teach our children and grandchildren that it's exciting to come to church, that it's a good thing, that it's exciting to come here. We talked this about in our Sunday school one time a while back, that when, you know, when we're going to a ball game or something, or you're going off to a concert when you're home, you're running around the house, you know, you're excited. You're excited to get going. I hope we do that on Sunday mornings when we go to church. Instead of getting up and, well, I guess we better go to church. I mean, I hope we're teaching our children that, man, it's exciting. Sunday mornings are exciting to come to church. Let them see it, and we teach it to them. You know, the best sermons in life are seen, they're not heard. And apparently Timothy saw that in his grandmother and mother. In verse 5, Paul writes, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure that it dwells in you as well. When I read this, it reminds me of Pastor Brian always telling us men to be the spiritual leaders in our home. He reminds us of that, and we should be. But in this case, it was Timothy's grandmother and mother, apparently. Paul is writing him and telling Timothy that I am reminded of your sincere faith that I first saw in your mom and your grandma. And I am sure that this faith dwells in you, that he has seen this faith come down from his mom and grandma. It's not hard to trace Timothy's spiritual roots, is it? Paul writes it for us right now. It started in the home. Apparently, with this written evidence, I mean, we see it, that we know that where it started. As parents and grandparents, do we have any idea of how the amount of influence that we do have on our children's spiritual lives? I mean, we try to influence them in so many other things, you know. Yeah, work harder at this or that, but do we know how much we bring to the table every time through their spiritual life? We need to pray with them and just talk about what God is doing in your life. And most important, you know, let them see it. Let them see it in you. I mean, I love praying with my grandson. I just love it. I mean, me and Sue will pray with him, and he's just so honest. I mean, it just, you know, we kind of tend to linger on a little bit or try to think of the great words to say, and my grandson, he just comes out of him, you know, that a lot of times he just prays, oh, Lord, let me stay one more night with Grandma and Grandpa. You know, it's just simple. You know, it's just simple that... But I think about the things that people will say or do to my children and to my grandchildren about me, the things that remind them of me. And I read that in this letter today of Paul's. I mean, will they tell my kids and grandkids someday that, oh man, you like to fish or hunt just like your grandpa, or boy, you play baseball or basketball just like your grandpa or your dad, whichever one they're talking to. And in working on this sermon, I thought, what an honor it would be if they would say to Paul, or to my kids, like Paul says to Timothy, that, wow, I see your faith. You have faith just like your dad. Or if they would tell my grandchildren someday that, oh man, your faith reminds me of your grandpa's faith. What a great thing that would ever be. What a legacy. What a thing to tell your kids or your grandkids. I mean, or that my own family would see and hear the importance of Christ in my life, and they would want that in their life. I remember about a year or two years ago, me and Adam, you have to come through the alley to get in our garage in our house, and I don't even know what we were talking about. But I told my son Adam, you know, if I could leave you and Kelly, Josh, the grandkids, anything, it wouldn't be money, wouldn't be anything, but I wish I could leave you my prayer life. And Adam looked at me and he says, "You know what, Dad? You already have. You already have." What a blessing is that to hear from your son, that he sees how important that prayer is in my life. You could ask me if I pray every day. And I would tell all of you, I don't know how many times a day I pray. I could not tell you how many times I pray. I pray and I ask God to help me all day long. And I'm not just up here blowing smoke or saying, "Oh, look at me." I kid you not, I pray about everything. I mean, in the day's time, I ask God to help me with everything I do. I don't care if I'm backing up trying to hook up with a trailer. I'd say, "Lord, you know, be with me as I try to do this." I just try to include him in everything I do. And I think I do that because I know how inadequate I am and how much I need his help. And I guess I truly believe Pastor Brian, when he stands up here and he reminds us every Sunday that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. I mean, I believe that. It has hit me. And I think we all sit here today and believe that there's nothing too big for God to do, don't we? I mean, don't we believe that? Well, I stand up here and tell you I don't believe there's nothing too small that he won't do either. Because I don't think anything's too small to God when we invite him in our life. I've heard countless people say, "Oh, you know, the Lord's got better things to do than help me with that, you know." No, he doesn't. No, he does not. He wants to be involved in our life 24 hours a day. We are his most prized possession. We as believers are his most prized possession. Why wouldn't he want to be included in our life in everything we do? And he wants to be in our life 24 hours a day, not just on Sunday mornings for an hour. He wants to be in our life every minute of our life. You know, when I think about this, and as I work, and I thought about my 2-year-old granddaughter the other day, she come up to me and she goes, "Come, Papa," and she took my hand and we walked over and she had these blocks on the floor, you know, and all she wanted me to do was help her stack them up. And did I say to her, "Oh man, that's a simple thing, you know, you can do that"? Absolutely not. I took that little hand and sat on the floor and we stacked those blocks up. Simple thing, yes, but the joy overflowed from me that she would want me to be included in her little world there and do that. And I believe that that's Jesus. He wants to be included in everything we do. And now in verse 6, Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. I got to tell you, I love this verse. I just love this verse, to fan into flame the gift that God has given us. We have all been given certain gifts. Scripture is very clear about that. Not a few of us, but all of us have been given gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4 tells us there are a variety of gifts, but they're given by the same Spirit. All gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit. All of our gifts are given to build up the body of Christ, the church, the Christian community. They're not given just to help us go, "Oh, look at me," or anything. They're given to be a part of the body. So none of us are gift deprived. Some of us maybe think we are, but none of us are gift deprived. We are responsible to use the gifts God has given us, and what a privilege that is to use our gift for him. 2 weeks ago on Sunday, or before church, Daniil had us all in the other room there, and we sang "This Little Light of Mine." And I got to tell you, that took over our whole Sunday school class, Daniil. When God moved you to have us sing that, our Sunday school class, that's all we talked about the rest of the time, was, you know, God gave us this light to shine, not to put under a basket. And I mean, that song, I can't get it out of my head. I've been just singing that for 2 weeks now. But we shared that, you know, that, and what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is that the great God of this universe, that Jesus Christ would want to reveal himself through me, Mike Barker, through you, through every one of you. I mean, do we get that? Do we get it? That God wants to reveal himself through us. What an awesome responsibility, or what a great privilege that is. It just blows me away that Jesus would want people to see me, or see him in me. And I got told this, I shared that on Thanksgiving service there, that about when one of my friends had a surgery and everything went really good, and a couple weeks later he passed away. But I got to speak to him at his kitchen table, just suddenly a blood clot, they think it was, and how me and Dale sat there and we shared the gospel, and he shared that he truly believed that, and I did not know that, and we shared that with each other. And at that time, you know, we talked about, you know, he said, "Oh, I have people talk to me all the time, but don't mean much to me, that he says, if I can't see it in somebody, I'm not going to listen to it. And that's when I told him, you know, Dale, you're right. I can sit here all day long and preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, but if you can't see it in my life, I just will go out in the pasture and talk to a cow. But if we don't show it, if they don't see it in us, you know, let your light shine. That's what we're given that light for. But we discover our gifts, and Paul tells us to fan into flame the gift that God has given us. We're called every day to blow on those embers in us and get that flame into a roaring fire. And we use it as a fire, you know, not just as a little smolder, or sometimes we just like to stir it a little bit and see a spark fly up. Fan that flame into a fire, like Paul's telling Timothy. And if you don't know what gift God is trying to stir up in you, you know, pray about it. And sometimes ask somebody what gift they see in you. Maybe you don't see it, but maybe they see that gift in you, and you might be surprised at their answer. Don't be afraid to ask someone. That's what God has given us each other for, is to help each other. And every gift is just as important as anybody else's. Sometimes I think we think maybe our gift is small, or maybe our gifts are small. And don't ever wish or be jealous of someone else's gift, because your gift is your gift, and it's just as precious as anybody else's. We all have been given precious gifts. And I believe one of the gifts that we all have and that we all share is that to be givers of encouragement. In Romans 12:8, Paul writes, if your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. You know, to encourage each other. God never intended us to be alone, or he wanted to give us each other. I mean, encourage each other. What a great gift. And I know we all have that gift in us. Maybe there's someone sitting in the pew next to you that really needs an encouraging word today. We are all called to give those words, the hugs or the strength, or to those who have problems or are discouraged, or maybe someone's grieving. We have that gift to give them, the encouragement to help them. We know God wants to make us all into a special kind of friend who strengthens and can bring comfort and encouragement to our families, our friends, our co-workers, and neighbors. I know that we are all called to encourage each other. And I know at times, a lot of times, you know, a lot of us say, well, you know, I'd go there, but I don't know what to say. And, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. And I think most of the time, our presence says it all. Our presence is the gift, not the words. Some people are quiet people. That's perfectly okay, because your presence is special, whether it's here in church, or I don't care if it's Sunday school or whatever. Your presence is priceless. Your presence is encouraging to others. Pastor Brian tells us, you know, to send each other cards or something. You know, when somebody's on our heart, send them a card, you know. Listen to what the Lord's trying to tell you. When he puts that name upon your heart, do that. About a week and a half ago, I was kind of getting down, and I was thinking about stupid stuff, and I kept thinking, you know, I'm not going to get a message wrote. Well, I was right there. I'm not going to do it without God's help. But, I mean, I just thought, and I think Sue was about ready to hit me over the head with a bat because I was whining to her about it. Boy, I just don't know what I'm going to speak on. I don't know what I'm going to say. I went up the post office and opened my mailbox, and I got a card from somebody here. It was a beautiful card, and it was a message to me and Sue. And I stood in the post office, and people are getting their mail, and tears were coming down my cheeks as I read this card that this couple had sent us. Talk about getting some encouragement. Then I think I smiled, and I think I said it out loud. I looked up and said, okay, I get the message. I get the message. And it just lifted me up. Then Friday, after I had my message done, I got another card in the mail from someone here. And it was a card that said it was a devotion that she said that it reminded her of me, so she sent me this card. And I can't remember exactly how it went, but it was a pastor that wrote for 24 years. Every time Sunday came, he had one more wish. That he had one more day to work on his sermon. And I kind of thought, because I wasn't happy with this sermon, and I read her card, and I looked at it, and I thought, I've never been happy with the sermon. As much as I did this, I have never walked up front and went, oh, man, this is it. You got to hear this. I have always kind of just slowly come up here. And, I mean, I've never been happy with it. So thank you. Thank you all for your encouragement to me. And sometimes we don't encourage because we let fear creep into our thoughts. Or what if I say the wrong thing? you know, or whatever, so we don't do anything. But we won't do the wrong thing if we take Christ with us, if we rely on him, if we pray for what we're going to do. Paul tells Timothy in verse 7 today, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." God has given us a spirit of power. We're promised that as we come to know Jesus and receive him. And the only fear that I can find in the Bible that God ever encourages is the fear of him, the fear of the Lord. And most of our problems, I think, in this life, and I think maybe it's one of my problems, that I fear people more than I fear God. It seems like I spend most of my time trying to please people than trying to please him or be obedient to him. I mean, don't we do that? Don't we worry sometimes more what somebody else thinks of us than we do what God thinks of us? And Paul is telling Timothy about the spirit that God has given him. Paul's reminding Timothy, because Timothy apparently is a little timid, we know that from Scripture, that he has this power, this spirit of power. And Paul's not just whistling Dixie, or he knows this power. Paul, as Paul's writing this letter, 2 Timothy, from prison, he's awaiting his death sentence. He knows he's going to die. And it's a bold letter. And even though Paul knows he's going to die, it's a clear call to Timothy to please keep preaching the gospel. God has given us the power to do that. And so often we forget that we have this power in us to help us to walk through life, to stay standing. We forget to invite Jesus to lead us, to guide us. Instead, we try to do it on our own, don't we? We try to crawl through life once in a while. We just, you know, I can get it done, you know. Don't ask the Lord for help. I'll just kind of mosey on over there and do it. And I'm reminded of this story. I heard this story a long time ago, and I think about it a lot. It's a story, it's about a man, and he had been sitting in a hotel bar drinking for a long time. He had been celebrating a new business deal with several of his coworkers, and all of a sudden he looked up at the clock and it was 2 a.m. And he was horrified, and he knew that his wife would be worried about him, so he slid off his stool to leave quickly for home. Well, to his great surprise, his feet hit the floor and he fell flat on his face. Thankfully, no one noticed, so he crawls over to the door and he tries to stand up again, and bang, he falls on his face again. Well, he says, "You know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I can crawl home. I only live 2 blocks from home." So he crawls home, down the sidewalk, over the street, up into his house he crawls. Crawls into the bedroom, his wife's sleeping peacefully, and he crawls into bed. Doesn't want to disturb her, so he crawls into bed. Well, the next morning he wakes up with his wife standing over him with this hot cup of coffee. And she says, "Well, sweetie, you had quite a night down at the hotel bar at India." And he looks at her pretty sheepishly, and he says, "How'd you know I was there?" Well, she said, "It was pretty simple. The bartender called this morning and said you left your wheelchair there." He had an easy way to get home, easy access to this power of a wheelchair that God created to get him home. All he had to do was get in it. It would provide the strength and the help he needed. But he forgot to use it. He forgot to use it. So many times we forget that God has given us this great power, this wonderful Holy Spirit in us to provide the power that we need. So many times I look back at my life how I just tried to crawl. Maybe sometimes I still try to crawl through stuff instead of relying on God to get me to the other side, to get me over there, to do that, to move me over there. I try to do it on my own strength. And again, I recall Pastor Brian anymore, that every Sunday he reminds us, apart from Christ, that I can do nothing. That I can do nothing. We need to open our hearts and let Christ demonstrate his power through us. Through us. Around us. Let him work things through us. And when opportunities come, let us all be like Isaiah. When God says, "Whom shall I send?" Let us all be like Isaiah and say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. Send me." That's the people we are. So use the power that God has given you to serve and love others. You know, there's so many people need our love. You know, life's not easy for a lot of people. Life's not easy for me. And if it's easy for you, well, God bless you. It's not all that easy for me. There's so many people out there, and maybe a few here, that feel the darkness has closed in around them. There's so many people out there that know only darkness, that they don't know the light of Christ. We're called to do that. They need to see our light. And maybe we feel like a candle sometimes. Maybe we feel like a little birthday candle. But go into a dark room and light that little candle and just see how much light that can shine in that little dark room. It'll bring much light to it, and that's who we need to be. Be that candle for someone and remember. And I hope that, if nothing else, that you'll take this from today, that everyone you meet this week or everyone you meet today, you bring something into their life, good or bad. You leave them with something as you part from them. And let us always strive to leave them with something good. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, let us always be in awe of you. You are the King of Kings. Help us to be aware of your presence in all of our situations we face. Help us to fan into flame the gifts you've given us. You've given us so many, Lord. Help us recognize and use them. And give us the strength and knowledge and the power to use these gifts just to shine our light on someone and to help further your kingdom on this earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.